Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping the third episode of Loki, titled 1893, and full spoiler details, so if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And I'm here with a man who is so singular. It's Tommy. Tommy, how's it going?
I'm doing so good, Michael. I am a little upset that you didn't want to come onto the podcast on our tandem bicycle. I thought we could ride over together, but you know, it's fine.
Maybe we need a tandem microphone. I don't like how does that.
We need to work on that, but it's just a prototype right now. Don't worry, the tandem microphone will work soon.
Yes, for sure. Tommy, I gotta say, it's been an interesting roller coaster for Loki for me. You know, I really loved the first episode. I had a lot of issues with the second one. And, you know, coming off the second one, coming into this one, I was like, here we go again. Here's another episode of, like, just throwing out random words and, like, I'm just along for the ride. I will say it started to really win me over in the second half. Like, I was so ready to hate this episode. But it really went a lot of cool places. And, you know, there's still some complaints I have here and there. But for the most part, this was a lot of fun.
I'm glad to hear. And you know, you also just put to words kind of how I'm feeling too, where it's like, I think the best comparison to the show I've been thinking about is like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you watched that way back in the day, where it was kind of loosey-goosey. You weren't really sure what was happening. It got very messy once the S.H.I.E.L.D. broke up because it's like, okay, well, how is this all working? There was a lot of mumbo-jumbo that they shoved under the window. And but the characters shined, and I feel that with Loki, where it's like when you give these characters and these actors the ability to just like interact with each other, and the chemistry and the dynamic and the dialogue between them is excelling for me. But yeah, when you're throwing a lot of words and I'm trying to keep up with what are we really doing here, like what's the plot of it, that's where I'm like getting lost. But I am loving Loki. I'm at least feeling enticed to continue along the journey in the sense that like I want to know what's going on, because I am confused and I'm not confused enough to jump off the Ferris wheel. Like I'm still on the Ferris wheel. I'm riding around avoiding that robber baron and you know, enjoying life right now. But yeah, that's the comparison. Because even think about it, TVA is broken. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the S.H.I.E.L.D. was broken. And for me, that's the big problem here is the TVA. I don't really know who's running things. I don't understand the jurisdiction. That's the part that starts to lose me in this.
Yeah, and I hope that is by design, because I think we kind of talked about there might be, you know, a little bit more going on here. Where is OB have a little bit more control than he's leading on? You know, so I do think some of this is going to start to unravel, but there were a couple moments where I was just like, you know, Obi was like, oh no, the temporal immoral, it's going to shut down. And they're like, English, please. And then he's like, the TVA is going down. I'm like, this is so cliche. And like, I think the problem is I don't even know if they're confident in what they're saying. So it's, you know, when they do stuff like that, I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. Again, I'm giving it a chance. And like I said, I do feel like we're going to get there.
Well, and it's also like the loom has been shutting down since episode one, and it's probably hasn't been that much time for them, but we're three episodes in and they're like, it's getting real dicey in here. It's like, well, when's it either going to stop being dicey or the whole thing's going to blow up, because it just seems like we're in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah. So Tommy, I don't want to bury the lead here. I want to start right up front. Jonathan Majors is back, baby. Victor Timely. Interesting character, something we haven't seen from Kang before. How did you feel about the portrayal of Victor Timely?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a weird relationship with this character because of the in real life stuff that is happens. But I like the character, and I'll give kudos to Majors in the sense that like he has made each version of Kang so unique, and it's so cool to see these different versions of the same character. And this idea that, like, I do like the core of what this character is representing is, like, do your variants represent you? You know, if my variants do something, should that be held on me and on my account? I like that he was kind of swarmy, though, too. Like, Victor, it's like, he's kind of a con man, right? Like, he has ideas and ambitions, but at the end of the day, they don't really work. It's more about selling the concept and running off with the money. And I felt like he was the part that did hook me into it with, like, there was so much going on with him multiple times. One thing I didn't mention at the top of the summary is, like, multiple times I felt I was getting ready to, like, write notes for us and the podcast being like, oh, I think this is going to happen in a few episodes. And one of them was like the love triangle. I'm like, oh, I think Miss Minutes is going to go, is going to leave because she's getting jealous. And then they already fixed it in the episode. Like, multiple times I'd be like, oh, never mind. This is going in an entirely different direction than I anticipated. And I think a big part is Victor as a character. Like, I didn't expect him to end up with Loki and Morbius at the end of this. So loving the character, I think it will be interesting to see if the shoe will drop, if he will con the TVA in the end.
Well, where do you stand with Jonathan Majors at this point? Like, how do we solve this? Do you have, like, how would you like to see this? Like, is there, because I guess I'm asking to say my opinion on it. And here's my opinion, maybe a hot take. I don't care. Get him out of here. I don't care about Jonathan Majors. He did pretty good in the other roles. I didn't even really like him in this role. I realized he was doing, like, a different character, but there was, like, some cadence stuff that was going on that just felt, like, really heavy-handed, where, like, he talks, like, it's like the phrasing of the things where, like, you know, I can sense that he's trying to give us this maybe self-conscious character, right? And where, like, he might be afraid to say certain things, but he would start to say things like where he would, like, break up a word and, like, feel unconfident about how to end the word. It would be like if I was like, we're on a podcast, and this portrayal did not work for me, and I feel like I'm less forgiving now because it is Jonathan Majors, yeah. Where I'm like, just recast him. I don't care.
I think I see what you're saying. I took that as his, like, he was giving a stutter on it, right? Like, the character was definitely being portrayed as, and I think those breaks were him stuttering.
And to be fair, I was nervous to say that because, like, I by no means want to,
yeah,
take shots. There's a stuttering community out there, and it's a real thing. And I have friends that stutter, so.
But something that, like, if you're gonna make that choice, it has to be like. It, because to your point, it does take people out of it. It is a choice. And, like, for better or worse, it does, like, create that divide, you know?
Yeah, and also the fact that, like, Jonathan Majors doesn't have a stutter and, like, yeah, that's, like, exactly. A thing. And, like, if you're – it gets a little weird there. So I just – it just didn't connect with me, this particular character. I will say I did like seeing the origins of Kang, or He Who Remains, right? Kind of like seeing him realize – what he could become. And I thought that was an interesting perspective. And, like, I would like to see these breadcrumbs, if we continue on with Kang and this character and this actor, I would like to continue to see these breadcrumbs and how he grows. And I assume it's all going to happen in Loki, but if it's in other projects as well, that would be cool. Just because, again, like, you know, we kind of see where he goes and now we're at his origin, and it is interesting.
Yeah. And to your point, the whole situation with Jonathan Majors is very messy. There's a lot going on there that I think if I am Marvel, you just bite the bullet. I think he's doing a good job with King. I think he's doing better than... I like that each character does feel different. You know, He Who Remains felt so different from this and that. But it's not enough to be like, to the pros don't outweigh the cons, as you're saying. And also... I think the storyline, they already messed it up. I don't think you can do King at this point. They made it so messy. They could have done the storyline well that, like, at this point, everything's telling you to stop doing this King storyline. Maybe you should listen. That's how I feel, where it's like, if Major's performance was amazing, then maybe you pursue it. Or if the storyline was amazing, but both are kind of meh, that, like, it's like, okay, scrap it. You're scrapping a lot right now, Marvel. It seems like you're redoing a bunch of stuff. Maybe this is another. Go with a different plot.
Step back and punt, guys. So, and again, I'm kind of getting some of my complaints out. There's one other character I'll complain about later, but for the most part, I really enjoy these people, and I actually want to move on to what you mentioned, which was this interesting love triangle that we get in the episode. We finally get the appearance of Ravonna Renslayer and Miss Minutes back here. I thought that they were both great in this episode. I love Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes, maybe, like, one of my favorite characters to ever come out of one of these Marvel shows. So how did you feel about seeing them back in action?
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to feel. I think if you would have asked me before, I'd be like, Renslayer or whatever. I really like what she was doing of, like, and both of them of, like, they're almost like followers of a cult in the sense where it's like they're blindly following He Who Remains. And, like, both definitely have their own romantic or whatever feelings towards He Who Remains. And then putting it on this variant, it's such a complex thing. And I felt like they both did a really good job of showcasing that. Multiple times, like I said, I thought it was going to go 10 different directions. And even in the middle of the episode, if you would have told me it would have ended up with them at the end of time, almost seeming like they're going to be a duo. Now they got out all their jealousy. They realize they have to work together. And, you know, F He Who Remains is kind of how Miss Minda was treating it. So, like,
in both I think ways. It's
yeah. But it's spicy and it's like very scary. Miss Minda is again, like the fact that she went from this whatever character in season one and now she's like probably gonna be the main antagonist or at least part of the antagonist. Scary, spooky ghost time. I don't know if I liked that. That was a little scary. I had to close my eyes a little bit. I looked through my fingers, but no, I think it's good in this dynamic. And Renslayer in general is so fascinating to me, both with the relationship with Mobius, too, which they kept putting on of like, I kept cleaning up her messes, and it's almost like she's closing she's choosing to keep the door closed, even though there's really no reason.
Yeah, I gotta say, so as far as Miss Minutes goes, and I'm scared to say this because I love this character, but it's giving a little bit of Morgan from Ahsoka. You know, I feel like this might be like, you know, the villain of the season, where the greater villain could go on and do other things. But I'm a little worried about Miss Minutes here. I will say there's like a lot of kind of like interesting commentary, and like the fact that like with AI a little bit, and like can AI fall in love, and like when they build their own programming, what does that mean? And like, you know, it's discussing like higher concepts that like we can actually wrap our minds around. And I think that's the other thing. Like, I know what AI is, and I think we're all very aware in this day and age what AI is, what it's capable of, where it could possibly go, and how it could possibly be dangerous. So I feel like that was a better storyline as compared to like temporal meltdowns.
Yeah, and I think that's just to keep the urgency up. And that's maybe I'm putting less pressure on it. I'm just like, yeah, there's a bad thing happening in the TVA. And I think that's what I've amounted it to. And I'm way more fascinated by this hunt for variant He Who Remains, the hunt for Renslayer, this dynamic, you know, it feels like a cop show between Mobius and Loki doing their thing. And yeah, the AI stuff is fascinating. Like, I want to almost just an entire episode diving into the idea of like the AI part of it. Also the part of like, she's putting so much on this variant of like, we would spend hours together, and he has to keep being like, that's not me. And like, to me, I love, I'm a big in the brain, big into like that kind of mindset of how our brains work and psychology and stuff. And I love the idea of like, should you be persecuted for something you haven't actually done yourself, but it was something that, it's the idea of like, you know, like I'm all over the place, but Minority Report, where it's like persecuting someone before they've actually done the crime. Like, is there this like free will nature? Should Victor Timely have the free will to live? And we see that with Sylvie of like, should he be persecuted for what He Who Remains does? It's all very fascinating. And it, to me, on a small form with Miss Minute here, is like, she's putting way too much on this guy.
For real. Very like, you know, I think we get a glimpse of it in the season finale of season one from Miss Minutes, but she's very like, it's a daunting figure, really. Like, she seems very mischievous, and it's a little concerning, especially when she says things like, bless your heart, you know? So I will say I really liked the twist on her appearance in this episode, where she kind of turns into like classic black and white Mickey Mouse or Cuphead like type style. I thought that was really cool.
Should we do that for that? Like, in the future, we just, all our low-key podcasts are all in, I guess it was only for this episode, but
yeah.
Go back like to the non-color days.
Just wear those big white gloves and
I feel like Miss Minute would be a fun Halloween costume.
Oh man. Yeah, that would.
Right? If you could do that well, build out a full suit. I like how she walks on like a surface, like an imaginary surface in the air too. It's like my favorite part. It's like, where's this floor coming from?
Well, you know, that was like part of the creative process when like discussing these scenes, where they're like, well, we don't want tiny Miss Minutes on the floor and like every character looking down, and they're like, well, we'll just put her in the air. Who cares? So, yeah.
But it's like, you could just have her float then. Like, just, and like, that's what I was saying. Like, I love that. Yeah. I love that they made the choice that she actually doesn't walk in the air. Yeah. I hear you about maybe she's a Morgan. I don't know. I feel like she's going to snap, and it's going to be the storyline of how Miss Minute takes over everything. And like, He Who Remains becomes second fiddle. It's like, he becomes the one that we were worried about, but really it's going to be this duo of Miss Minute and Renslayer the whole time, that like, they're going to, you know, girl boss it up and take over the TVA and create their own story.
I just feel like we're being set up to root for Renslayer a little bit. Like, especially, you know, we get this moment where they end up axing her into the ocean from the boat, which actually I really love, like that juxtaposition of like, you know, just smash cut to her falling into the water, into the boat. I thought that was really cool. But also, like, you know, like basically Victor Timely and Miss Minutes high-fiving as she floats away. Like, I don't know. I felt like it was kind of, we were supposed to feel a little bad for her in that moment. And I think that's where it kind of comes from, where like, if between the two of them, if I'm feeling a bit of sympathy for Renslayer, it must mean Miss Minutes is the more mischievous one. And also, I agree, like, I do see where like Miss Minutes might have like this power struggle a little bit, and maybe does try to take things over. But does it? My big question is, does it go past this season?
Is Miss Bennett our Palpatine, and is Renslayer our Anakin, who like, we feel the sympathy so that the fall feels harder when she chooses to go full bad and like maybe kills Mobius. What if that's what if that's her full going bad moment?
And I actually see that as well. You know, I'm going on like, you know, very basic storytelling techniques, which by the way, there's a lot of that in this show. I mean, even like, I've written comic books in the past, and actually I wrote a character similar to Victor Timely, this kind of like guy who comes out in like the late 1800s and presents his grand ideas. And like, there was like, you know, I'm not saying I could be a Marvel writer, but you know, the scene was very similar to something I've written before. And like, you know, maybe that's my own unoriginality. So with that being said, I guess where I'm just looking for like kind of themes and how storytelling goes. And you know, they've yet to surprise me too much, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they can like pull something out of the hat here.
Oh, well, they surprised me with this actually. I was like reading it as like, oh, this is gonna be this love thing, and it really feels like he's on Team Renslayer, and like Miss Minute's gonna be the one left in the dust. So when Renslayer got thrown in the boat, I was a little shocked there. I was like, oh, he believed Miss Minute out of all this. Like that did surprise me. I was like, the easy thing would have been him ending up with Renslayer and the AI getting angry. And so I was a little shocked by that.
And that's fair. Yeah, I didn't see that particular thing coming either. So do we want to talk about Sylvie's involvement in the episode?
Does Sylvie feel a little like old news? I don't know. I want more from her. It just feels like last season was so prominent, Sylvie, that every time, to me, I'm more interested in the Renslayer, the Victor Lively, Timely, the Miss Mint stuff, that like when she keeps popping up, I'm like, I feel like the storyline has progressed past you. Like I don't see how you're really connected to this other than you want to kill all the variants of You Who Remains, you know?
And I realize this very well is my poor memory of season one. And I mentioned this already with Sylvie, but like, I don't understand any motivation of Sylvie. Like, I don't know why she goes so hard for this stuff. I don't know why she goes to McDonald's and loves McDonald's. I don't know why she's mad at Loki. I don't know why she wants to kill all the Kang variants. Like, for me, it's like, and again, I realize I probably just need to rewatch season one to like fully understand those motivations. And like, it's not so much a diss on them, but it is taking me out of it, where like every time Sylvie shows up, I'm just like, like you're upset.
Yeah, I think her motivation, if I have to think about it, it's like I believe she was taken out of her time. No one knows why she was. I think they specifically showed the part where Renslayer was like, yeah, I don't even know why you were taken out. And she feels like she lost out on her life, and she doesn't like that the TVA just interferes and just is judge, jury, and executioner with no consequences. And so I think that's her whole thing, is like the TVA shouldn't be around, because it's who decides who gets a life on the timeline and who doesn't. And so I think that's her motivation, and it's continued past killing He Who Remains, because now she needs to make sure that none of it, she wants him never to exist, because he's the reason that she can't live a life. And so the McDonald's thing is her trying to live just a life, a simple life. That's all she wants. So I think that's her motivation. She just wants to live.
Okay. And you sell that well. And I see elements of that. And maybe, you know, in some ways I'm like, quit spoon feeding me. In other ways, I'm like, please just tell me what the hell's going on. So,
yeah.
you know, maybe I'm being a little nitpicky.
It's a complex show because I think, and I've said this with Loki, at times I don't know Loki's motivation. I don't know. I think we get, there's too much going on at times where we're focusing on this whole loom, the loom and the havoc over at TVA. We're focusing on Victor Timely and all this stuff that like, it just feels at times that Loki and Mobius and even Sylvie to a degree are just like characters to progress it forward, but they don't have any ambitions. We're not following their ambitions. Instead, they're just going around putting out fires. We're so focused on putting out fires that we don't really know why they're still a part of this thing.
Yeah, no, well said. So, Tommy, where do we go next? What else? Well, any other highlights for you?
So we got Miss Minute, all them. I just want to talk for a second about Mobius and Loki. I'm going to call it. I'm shipping them so hard. I love their little relationship. Yeah, I'm telling you, they're riding little tandem bicycles together. There's a little chemistry there. I'm saying I would. They can eat key lime pies all they want together.
Did you catch the callback to him being bisexual in this episode? There's a line. No. Renslayer, they're talking about how, you know, they can't decide if he's a hero or a villain. And Renslayer, well, he does tend to swing both ways. So I was like, yes, that's a little on the nose.
Yeah, I'm just saying, what's their ship name? Lokius or...
Lokius? I like it.
Moki.
I think I like Lokius.
Lokius. Yeah, I'm shipping Lokius. You heard it here first. I think they'd be a very cute couple. And, I don't know. Sylvie's old news. Get her out of here.
You really got it in my head now, though, that Mobius might be in trouble here. You know, especially like talking about like, you know, kind of, well, you have a life out there. I feel like we're going to get to the point where he finds out what his life is and what his possibilities are. And then it's all stripped away, which is very scary to think about because that is one of my favorite characters in the show.
Or he sacrifices himself to keep the TVA alive. Something like that, where it's like the TVA was his life. He's going to have some heroic speech about how like he doesn't care what's out there because this is what mattered. Yeah. And then he leaves. I know. I don't want it, but I do think we're getting a death and it feels like it's going to be Mobius for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like them. I think they have a really cool dynamic here. I like how into everything Loki is. We get a little bit of mention of Loki's past. We get the Odin... Thor and the classic trio Odin, Thor, and Baldur.
Yeah, that's what we all think of there. Yeah,
I am glad they referenced Baldur because he is in the. I remember getting deep into Thor comics once, and I was like, oh, Thor has so many other siblings that they don't focus on.
Yeah, Tommy. So we do. You know, I don't want to. Just kind of piggybacking on talk about some of the Miss Minutes stuff. We don't necessarily have to end here, but we do end on an interesting comment from Miss Minutes about how there's a secret that she knows about Renslayer. Does this mean anything to you?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you this as well. What theories do we have? I think right away I go to Renslayer's past. There's something that he who remains kept from Renslayer about her past is my thought. Maybe he's her dog. She's his dog. I don't know. There's so many ways it could go. But I also love Miss Minute. Like, again, Queen Boss, like Miss Minute, being like, he turned me down. F him. I'm going to air all his dirty laundry. Like, yeah. It's not like Renslayer was asking for this. Like, yeah.
I guess I don't really have a theory, but like, if I had to just fabricate one on the spot, what are the odds that maybe, Kang's love for Renslayer fractures and he uses Renslayer's personality to build Miss Minutes. Maybe Miss Minutes is built off of Renslayer. Maybe they're more conjoined than we might think.
Yeah, that could be it. Or like that Renslayer is being set up by he who, like it was all this whole, her dropping out the package was all part of it. She was never going to be the partner. I don't know. They're really painting He Who Remains as like this ultra bad guy, really jerk guy is how it seems, for the greater good, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. I'm just trying to think of like fun other things that we can talk about here. What about, we get a lot of like his inventions. It seems like people are coming up. You kind of mentioned he's like a con artist. People are like bringing their inventions back. There ends up being a little chase scene with some people that are better at him. But there was some, like, it seems like he has pants that can like make you taller.
I like that one. Yeah, I like the pants that can make you taller.
I think I would buy those.
Yeah, I feel like there's a way to make that with like using like illusion, mirror pants, and make it so that you're, you know, like the fun mirrors at a carnival. It's like doing that with pants, so it makes your legs look super long.
I think that's the other thing, though. I don't think you just want longer legs. Like, I think if anything, people want to be taller. But like, I don't know if anyone says like, I wish my legs were long. Like, especially men, you know.
Well, maybe.
Like just like giraffe legs. Like I don't know.
Would. I, you know what? I want longer legs because I'm more torso than I am legs. And sometimes it feels weird. Like everyone's all flaunting their long legs. I'm over here with my tiny legs running in my big top half. I want longer legs.
What other inventions do you think he has out there?
I did like the refrigerator chair. I thought that.
Yes.
Refrigerator chair and massage heating chair. It was like a combo. I feel like there'd be issues with the coils, like those two things. I feel like would probably.
This is like the origin of Icy Hot.
Yeah, but in chair form. I feel like he'd be like. I'm trying to think what inventions he would have. Silly inventions, like something with a spring. I feel like a spring-loaded contraption. Maybe like a spring-loaded arm. I could see him inventing that.
Yeah, maybe like okay, how about this? A fake safe that you keep in your house. So if any robbers come to try to rob you, they try to open the safe and there's a boxing glove that comes out. Punches yes. The bad guys in the face.
Yep.
I'm grasping at Charles now.
No, I like it. Maybe a watch that shocks you every time it's the top of the hour.
And that's where Miss Minutes comes from.
Yep, yep. I did find it interesting that she was originally made to play chess.
Yes. Which is in like, I don't know if there's that really means anything other than like, you know, I guess he who remains likes chess. But
do you think she was like, she kept, you know, like in chess when it's like, you're real intense, you hit the clock because you put it on timer. Do you think she was the timer for the chess games?
That's and also played? Well said. Yep. I'm sold, actually. That's exactly what that was.
Yeah.
She served both purposes as the timer and also the opponent.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I'm just really obsessed with Miss Minutes. I think you even sold me even more on her. Like, again, did not see this romance plot coming. That was a little scary at the end there in the office. If I'm Victor Timely, I'm like, what is happening? I have two women obsessing over me. I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah. And he's like the biggest. Yeah. He's just like, you know, just trying to like do his thing and sell his stuff. So Victor Timely, let's say, okay. So we end this episode. They end up, they get Victor Timely and they're bringing him back. I guess he's supposed to solve everything here. Where does this go? Because again, I feel like they were looking for Miss Minutes and also Victor Timely doesn't, I guess he studied the TVA handbook and like all his information, everything at this point that he has comes from that book, which is everything OB already has.
But who does it come from?
OB. The big bad. And,
yes. Why does OB want? I'm telling you, there's something that the fact that they specifically mentioned like my, you know, it's the combination of me and OB and he opens up to that last page. There's something there to that. And this is a question I was asking the whole time is this all still part of He Who Remains' plan? And this is the thing you always get into time travel. It's like, anything that happens, is this already predicted? Like, is this He Who Remains expected them all to show up here, expected it all to fall apart, expected all this to happen? Because at the end of the day, he wanted Victor to end up inside the TVA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think something's going to get messy. I think I still don't, as much as I was surprised he ended up going with them, I still don't trust him. We've seen that he can be a little conniving. We see he can lie a little. I think that was done on purpose. I think it's to show that like he only cares about making his visions a reality. And so I think he's going to mess up some stuff inside the TVA. So that makes me scared.
Yeah. So to be fair, like, I haven't been listening. Well, I have no idea what the discourse is on the show. I don't know what the leading theories are. I haven't been listening to podcasts or reading articles. As far as I know, you know, this is our theory. Obi's the bad guy, and I'm willing to put money on it.
Yeah, I've heard no one else. Rotten Tomatoes is giving it an 89%. Or no, okay. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Is it season one or season two? I think this is season two. I don't know. We'll check that out. Yeah, season two has an 87. So I think it's being liked. I haven't heard anyone else hear a theory that Obi's evil. Watch him just be a really nice guy, and we're over here like shaming him. No, like,
way. No way, I don't buy it. Even if he is nice, I'm still gonna. Yeah.
It just feels sketchy enough. I did like the moment with Mobius where he's like, "We can just hack or something," and Obi's like, "Oh, we can do that? Like, okay, let's do that." And he's like, "No, I was asking it as a question. Like, can we?"
Mobius has so many fun moments like that throughout the show.
Yeah, and that to me is where the show, and I think we're both feeling the same way. The characters and the I could just watch the characters doing nothing because they're just fun characters. The story sometimes is like, what are we doing here? This is a little over my head, a little all over the place, and I'm not sure what matters.
Would Loki season two be a better movie than a TV show?
Yes.
I think so too.
I think it would be better as a quick movie. I do like this cop feel of it. I like this like mystery feel. I think the mystery needs to be bigger. Like, to me, a show that I think this show could have learned from was Legends of Tomorrow, which like first season was not great, but then they learned to just go into the goofiness of it. And it ended up being a great show that like was very much this time traveling, going through time and solving things. And I feel like if Loki really did that with, instead of time, doing it with like the multiverse, going through and instead of trying to get rid of all these variant things, they're going through and trying to fix the multiverses. That could have been very interesting. Yeah.
I find myself, and this is more a comment on the MCU as a whole, but I find myself really craving just goofy Marvel. Like, and I've never really been in that. And I guess maybe like when they are kind of giving us like, and I'm not necessarily the show, but in the past, kind of like some half-baked, even Secret Invasion a little bit, you know, very serious, but kind of half-baked. You know, I feel like if you're going to go that direction, just give us She-Hulk again. Like, I feel like, you know, stuff like that I had a lot more fun with.
I feel like they're trying to make everything so epic, and it's so hard because nothing's... Their problem is they've already done it. Like, Endgame was just so epic that nothing's going to feel like that again. And I just think they're biting themselves in the foot every time they're trying to make everything feel like the stakes are high, because it's like you haven't earned that yet. Endgame Infinity War took, 20 years to get to that point of buildup, of little things setting up the pillars so that we were already there and the stakes were there and we felt it because we've been through the journey the whole time. I'm not scared of the multiverse because I haven't had time to really understand. Like you're saying, I haven't had time to understand the multiverse to be afraid of what could happen.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's just random. So that, I guess the fear is coming from that a little bit.
Yeah. Do you want some quick Easter eggs?
Let's do it. Easter egg corner.
Okay. We saw on a poster, we see the name Ferdinand Lang, who some people are saying is an apparently notable singer. Some people are saying maybe a relative of Scott Lang.
Okay. Oh, Lang. Yeah, I didn't put that together.
We got... The SS Heron was the name on the boat. That is a reference to the season one director of Loki.
Okay. I saw the sign. I was like, that means something. But of course, I didn't look it up.
Yeah. What else? We get some references to Rama Tut, one of King's variants. We get Loki's soundtrack is referenced in the Victor Timely show. We get some of the version of Loki's green theme is put in there. Yeah.
So, I like that. Well, just side note, speaking of the music, I really like how they opened with the, you know, the Marvel fanfare, but they had more classical music to it. I thought that was really, I was like, that kind of got me hyped going into it and put me in a setting.
I think my favorite thing is when they use that title card for something, right? Like when everyone got snapped and they cut out the people that were snapped. I thought that was a good touch. Like things like that. So I also was loving the old time. I'm like, I know what's happening now. We're going back. You don't even have to tell me. I already know that we're going back in time.
Yeah.
And then just the last one we kind of touch on is, yeah, Baldur. Nice little Easter egg to the one of the other Norse gods.
There we go. Good Easter egg. Not a bad episode for Easter eggs, I guess.
Yeah, some little reference in Chicago Fair, of course, and you know, yes, all that stuff there.
The Easter egg to the real thing.
Yeah, I wish we had like a World Fair. They always sound so cool. Like this idea of like this is a place where people just show off their inventions.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And then especially like, you know, thinking back and like some of the different eras where like, you know, they were like hot air balloons, you know, they're kind of blown away by that even. So
what should be the Stark Wars invention? I'm trying to think what like I need like an organizer, but I don't think that there's just a maid. I need someone to come through and just like organize my stuff for me.
Yeah, that's my favorite. My favorite Stark Wars bit is when you like start looking around your room for ideas. When I'm like, "Hey, do you want to recommend something?" and you're like, "Oh, what's on the ceiling?
What do I need? What do I got around?" It's like, what kind of inventions would help me right now in my life? maybe like something that like will not. I need something that will alert me if I'm about to burn my food, because sometimes I'll like put it, especially if I'm making grilled cheese, because those get crispy way too quickly, and I think I have some time to like go do something, and then I come back and one side is just completely burnt and it's very upset.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call anyone out, but there's somebody I know that makes grilled cheeses, and I don't think they've ever not burnt a grilled cheese, let's put it that way. Like they do it so often and every time it's burnt.
Yeah, I've had some good ones, but I've had some real bad ones.
Yeah,
I still eat it because I don't want to waste the bread.
Tommy, do we, you know, I have a recommendation I want to get to, but before I do that, do we have any other theories? What's episode 4 going to be like? Are we going back in time again?
No. So how many episodes of the season do we have total? Do we know this? Is it 8? I want to say 8, but
Loki season.
People love this part of the podcast.
Yeah, we're typing away and as my slow internet breaks.
Michael's typing.
It looks like 6.
Oh, so yeah, I think this is going to be a big swing. I think this is when we get the OB reveal here. I think if it's coming, I think we get it here. I think we get or either that or we get Miss Minute and Renslayer coming in hot into the TVA.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm with you on the OB thing, because now that we are bringing Victor Timely in, you know, I feel like at that point, you know, if what we are assuming is true, the gig is kind of up. You know, OB is going to have to do something. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to bring this guy in who doesn't know a whole lot. There's definitely an ulterior motive there, and it's going to have to come out.
And just to note, when they mentioned that they got a He Who Remains variant, OB was not present. I don't believe it. It was just Hunter and, I already forgot, Casey.
Yeah. Casey, yeah.
But so I just story reasons, 4 is going to be big, all TVA. They're going to be in the TVA most of the time. I think it's going to be Victor learning a lot. I think we get the Loki and Mobius with some egg on their face and Sylvie being like, I told you so. And it's going to end very sad. 5 is getting the band back together, figuring out what's happening, maybe some Sylvie moments, and they're going to figure out how to stop all the chaos in the episode 6.
Yeah. I like it. I'm sold. You sold me.
Nice. That's all I need to do. I don't know. It's been an interesting journey. I'm still, like I said, I'm not like dreading watching the episodes, which is always a good spot for me, where it's like, I was interested to see what they were going to do with this going forward.
Yeah. All right, Tommy, let's do some recommendations. Do you have anything? I know I definitely do. Let's see. This wall color is interesting.
No, I do. I started playing a new game that just came out. Mario Wonder, Super Mario Wonder. It's the new Mario Brothers game, classic 2D scroller. It's fun. It's a nice, if you like that style of game and you like Mario, I feel like they do some creative innovations to that style, but it's the same bread and butter. Like, it's like they didn't reinvent the wheel.
Actually, I was going to recommend something else, but then he said a video game. So actually, I have two recommendations. And I've already told you about it, Tommy. I started playing Baldur's Gate 3. And yeah, I know you said you weren't interested in playing, which is weird to me because I'm realizing how D&D this game, like, it seems up your alley.
It is D&D. It's not that I'm not interested. I'm very much interested. I do not have the systems to play Baldur's Gate. Okay. So I'm very jealous of the people that get to play it because I cannot myself. But yes, it is very D&D heavy. I am glad that it's out there to show people kind of the mechanics. It's a very, like, you don't have to build your own character sheets. You don't have to, you know, it does a lot of the work for you.
It walks you through everything, which I think is big for a D&D noob that's kind of like, I don't even understand what all of my possibilities are. So, yeah, I do appreciate that. To be fair, I'm not super deep. I might be like an hour and a half into it. Like, I play in like 15-minute chunks, unfortunately. Like, that's dad life video gaming. It's like you only get to like really hop in for a little bit. Like, I'm barely past like the beginning mission. So, but it's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. You know, I spent probably half an hour building my character, which was a lot of fun, you know, choosing stats and all that fun stuff. So,
what's your class?
I'm a rogue.
Oh,
you know, my thing is, you know, the magic is very intimidating. There's like 300 spells in this game. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Just give me a bow and arrow.
I really think more and more you would like Legends of Vox Machina if you gave a chance past the first two episodes, because like, especially like a rogue, their rogue Vex is so like angsty, but also so mysterious. And also like, I feel like you would like that energy, past the first two episodes.
Once I remember the rogue from that show, I think my character is similar. Is he an elf?
Yeah,
I have a rogue elf. So
no, that's why I think I very much feel that Vex energy from you. So okay. Or Vex
energy. There we go. So there's I guess we'll touch back on that. The other thing, let's get personal. Let's recommend something personal. I started a diet, Tommy. I'm in full swing ketosis.
Whoa.
Keto's so cool, man. I had the best. It's just, you basically just cut your carbs and cut your sugars. I had the best breakfast in the world. Guys, if you want to diet, go keto, man. Like, I just had bacon and eggs, and it was like, you know, I haven't cooked bacon for my, like, you know, first and foremost, I guess I'm talking for myself here. I end up ordering out a lot. I love DoorDash. I love fast food. So, like, I'm actually cooking at home a lot more, which is something I don't typically do. So, you know, again, I'm like, I had the best breakfast. I'm sure a lot of people are like, yeah, I cook bacon every day. But for me, it was like, I've been like open to, I'm like, I'm very happy with my diet so far.
Truly, regardless of like what diet you're on, I feel like the biggest thing that comes out of dieting is like, what you learn is if you don't order out, you tend to lose weight, and like diets usually get you to cook more, because it is true. Like, it's like, I'm the same way, like, especially working from home, it's so easy to just be like, I don't want to cook, let me just order something. But you really do notice that like, it makes a huge difference when you start cooking again.
Yeah. So, I'm doing like a 30 day trial on this. And then, I'll ease back into like more healthier, and you just cut the fast food and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear it. I'm excited for your journey, on the keto way.
Yeah. So, if anybody has any keto recipes or keto, anything like that, hit me up. So I'm a chef now, apparently.
Oh, yes, chef.
Yes, chef. All right, Tommy, is that it? We closing out?
I think so. Unless, like, let me look around the room one more time.
Check the John Stamos.
Halloween's coming up. Spooky season. I guess I should watch Over the Garden Wall if you haven't this season. Have you finished it yet?
The last two episodes.
I know. I criticize, but like, no, it always comes from love, because it's like, there's too many shows. So I never expect you to finish these shows.
Well, my thing is, like, I went a long time thinking. I was like, oh, I watched it. But then I think you said something that prompted me to think about the ending, and I was like, I don't think I actually finished it. But I was like right there at least. So
no, and that's the thing, is like, I think the episodes you're missing are going to change your opinion on the show, because it's like, without saying too much, it's a show that is like, you don't, why people rewatch it so much is because you learn new things every single time you watch it, because once you get to the end, it makes the beginning feel different. Everything feels different.
Yeah. See, my problem is now, though, like, I do like getting into the Halloween spirit, watching the Halloween things, but there's like a lot of new stuff too. I mentioned House of Usher, which I haven't even started yet, but I've been really excited about. Also, what about this, Tommy? We can touch on this. Werewolf by Night, Full Color. You going to watch that?
Oh, I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, they dropped, they just re-released it in Full Color.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Like, again,
I don't get the point.
Yeah, but it's like, if I'm going to rewatch it anyways, which I might, because it's like, that was a great show. why not try it differently?
Fair enough. Good point. So.
But you know, I do agree. But if it starts to be a little wonky, then I might switch back. Like, if it's like one of those. But Michael, I get it. There's a ton of new stuff. Hour and a half. You could get through all the episodes again real quick. Like, it will be whatever time it is your time. It's 6 now, 7:30. You're done.
Again, my video game sessions are 15 minutes. And that's like, you know.
Well, the key time is the time of night. That's what I find my most watching time is once my fiance goes to bed, and then it's like, I'm just up and I can just do it. The world free. Is my oyster. Yeah, exactly.
Tommy, I feel like you're not going to say, but I have to ask. I got to ask for the tease. You always got good Halloween costumes. Can you tease us at least? What do you got planned? I know you got something planned.
I do. We're having a Halloween party, and it is Barbie themed. We will be going as Barbie and Ken this year. But we have our house. We have a photo booth going to be set up with a little. We built a Barbie box.
Awesome.
That's all Halloween size. So we're big on the making the house look very spooky and building out the stuff there. I have a friend who works in the art department. So that helps us a lot with our designs. But I'm a little sad though. I like our, I gotta say this quiet because she's right. I like our costume a lot. But One Piece live action has such a hold on my life that I really wanted to go and it's Luffy.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a costume, but I might throw something together at the last minute. We'll see. I've said a couple times I would like to do Balin from Ahsoka.
Balin would be a good one. You could go as Miss Minute. Just throw.
Yeah. I think that's like more of a production. I feel like, yeah, Balin just, you know, black. Yeah. You know, coat and gray, just gray myself a little bit. And I got a red lightsaber already, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably the best path. I'm trying to think of other Quake costumes that are easy, that are topical. I don't even know what's topical this year. I feel like other than Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Should I be Oppenheimer?
You could be the explosion. You could be the nuclear explosion.
Just walk around like a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, just have like this like, paper, make a paper mushroom clown around you.
Yeah, you're stressing me out with all these high, you know, these. I don't know. High, I really don't costumes. Thing at that point. You're like turning me into a cosplayer.
I just think it's funny when people wear giant suits on top of themselves.
You ever see that the Kingpin cosplay from Into the Spider-Verse? It's just like a giant dude like.
I had a Halloween party where someone showed up and like that, and it was a big inflatable suit, and they walked around and just go up to people, be like, show a picture of the Kingpin family and go, I miss my family, and then just walked off.
I love it. All right, Tommy, let's do it for real now. This was a lot of fun. Good podcast, Tommy. And if you agree with that, if you think it was a good podcast, we'd love for you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week with Loki coverage. The Marvels is coming soon, isn't it? We'll talk about that. So. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, I guess.
I'm excited for the Marvels.
Yeah, it's going to be goofy. And that, like I said, that's kind of what I'm looking for. So,
yeah.
Let's not take ourselves so seriously here, guys. Come on. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And we also have a Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
Bye, 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 bye. Bye.